Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph. We're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Giza Meirs. All the Neshamas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up on Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph. 9 lines from the top with the words, Omer Yitzchak. Continuing on the discussion of Kibud Ovo Ein. So, Omer Yitzchak, or Yitzchak tells us, Kol Over Aveira B'Seisa, if somebody goes and does an Aveira while they're alone, while they're hidden away, in secret, so Ki'ilu Dochek Ragle Shechina, it's as if he's pushing away the Shechina, because we have the Pasuk that says, Shenemar, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the sky is my seat, Va'aretz Adom Ragloi, and the earth is where I sort of say, put my feet. The earth is my footstool. And therefore, if somebody does an Aveira B'Seiser, so what they're basically saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist over here. And they're basically saying they have no concern about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, this is a terrible thing. And as a result, it's as if they're kofer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kilu dochik ragle shlina. They're pushing away the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kai b'yachol. Amar Shimon Levi, also the Adam Shalich Arba Amos, b'koma zekufa. Person is forbidden to walk in an arrogant way with a koma zukufa, an upright, erect status that implies that he is a very chosh of a person and that he's not a humble person. That's wrong. Again, because the pasuk says, "Shenemar meloch halaretz kvaldo." Hakadosh Baruch Hu's glory is all over, and when a person walks erect, as if he's saying that Hakadosh Baruch Hu's glory is not there. As Rashi points out, "Mashma mishtarvev v'yorid lamata." Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, his shechina is present all over the world. Va'zokev komaso, and somebody that's staying in a very erect position near a kedochak. Again, it's like he's pushing away the shechina. The shechina is not here. Furthermore, Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua teaches us a very important idea. Lo maske arba amos. He didn't walk for amos, the gilui rosh, with his head uncovered. In other words, he always walked with some sort of a head covering. A yarmulke. Amar shlina lo malam yoshi. And this was to remind himself, and because he said, the shlina is above me. So the yarmulke, technically the word yarmulke means yore malka, that a person should be constantly aware that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is all around him, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is above him, and therefore we don't walk with the gilui rosh. Now, the Gemara tells us, Shal ben Almona Achas es Rabbi Eliezer. There was a son of a widow. In other words, his father had passed away, and his mom, who was a widow, was still alive. And this Talmud asked Rabbi Eliezer the following Shaila. What is the din? Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim, Ve'ima Omeres Hashkeni Mayim. Now, the way Rashi points out is that this person, who really had no more father, was seeming to suggest to Rabbi Eliezer that he did have a father, and this was a halacha l'maisa shayla, as opposed to a theoretical question that he was asking him in halacha. So this orphan, his father was dead, his mother is still alive, asked Rabbi Eliezer, what do I do, what does a person do if the father and mother both simultaneously ask him for a cup of water? So Ezmeim called him, who should you give it to first? So Rabbi Eliezer responds, Amalei, Hanach kvot imcha, you leave your mother's kavod aside for the moment, basei kvot avicha, and you have to honor your father by, as we'll see, the definition at the very end of today's shir will be, how do you honor a parent as opposed to being in fear and awe of a parent? So the way you honor a parent is by giving them food and drink. One of the ways is by giving them food and drink. So if your father asks for a drink, you have to go give your father the drink first. Asei kvot avicha, because she'ata, not only are you obligated in giving kavod to your father, but so too, the imcha, the wife of the person, also has certain obligations to her husband. Both of you have the opportunity to be mechabed, the father slash husband. And therefore, you should go and put aside for the moment your mother's cover and go take care of your father's cover. Now, Balabim, Rabbi Yeshua, this Talmud came to Rabbi Yeshua, Amlo Kach, and he asked him the same question, and Rabbi Yeshua gave him the same exact answer. Amlo Rabbi. So this Talmud, this orphan, said to Rabbi Yeshua, Nizgar Shamahu, what would be the halacha if the mother became divorced from the father? What then? Who should you go and give first the drink, let's say, to the mother or to the father? So Nizgar Shamahu, if she's divorced, what's the halacha? She no longer has any requirement to be mechabe the husband. So now they're two independent, separate entities. So Amalei, so Yeshua tells him, I see, mibein risei einecha, from the fact that you're missing some of your eyelashes, I see you've cried a lot. Nikar sheben amonata, it appearing to me that your father passed away. And therefore, these aren't really halach l'maisa questions. You're interested in knowing the halacha, but they're not halach l'maisa questions. So he answered them in a slightly flippant answer because of the way that the question was asked, somewhat inappropriately. So he said, hatel lohem mayim b'seif, we'll go bring them a cup of water in some sort of a pitcher, and v'kaka lohem kitar negolin, and kuda them as if they were roosters. In other words, you can go give to whichever one you want. That's the halacha, that when the parents nebuchad divorced, so then the father no longer has precedence over the mother, because the mother no longer has the obligation to go and serve the father. And therefore, the son in that situation can do whichever he would like to do, either give his mother first or give his father first. He would have to give both of them, but he would give one of them, whichever one he chose to do first. Rashi explains again that this person implied that this was a real halacha lemaisa question, and that's why he was answered in a slightly flippant way when it turned out that it really wasn't a halacha lemaisa question. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Doresh Ula, Rabba, Apischa de Benesia, Ula, the great Ula. So he darshan the following at the entranceway, Apischa, the entranceway into the Benesia, into the house of the president, of the Nasi, of the Kaiso. So Maidik said, he said, what is the pasuk mean when it says, Yuducha Hashem Komachi Oretz, Kishamru Imre Ficha? This is a pasuk from Tehillim that says that all of the kings of the world, Komachi Oretz, they will recognize you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will acknowledge you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they heard Imre Picha, because they heard the words of your mouth. Now, Maimar Picha, it doesn't say a single statement, Maimar Picha, doesn't say that, lo ne'amar, elo imre picha, the plural, multiple statements that they heard. So what exactly is this referring to? So Ula Rabba darshan this so beautifully, and he said, Bishosh amar kodesh baruch hu, anochi Hashem alokecha, and velo yelucha elukim achirim al panoi, when the kodesh baruch hu said the first two of the aseret sadibros, the whole world heard this, so amru umasalim, so all the nations of the world said, pshh, luchvod atzmo dorish, he's all doing this for his own edification, for his own grandeur. He wants everybody to serve him. Everybody should honor him. I am the king. I am the one that made the world. Don't have any other gods. So they were, so to say, Kaliyachol, making fun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being arrogant. L'chvod Atzmo Hodorish, he just wants people to honor him. However, when they saw Kivin Shammah and the fifth commandment, Kabeit Esavich V'Simech, whoa, wait a second, he's not doing this for himself. So Chazru V'Holdu, now they went back and they understood and acknowledged L'mamoros HaRishonos. So now it's not Maimar Picha, the single statement, but it's Imre Picha. Now when he said the fifth of the Aseret Sadibros, they understood what the first and the second were. It's not just to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make everybody be submissive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, he's teaching them the proper way that a person should act, including of which is to recognize your parents as well as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Omar, Rav gives a slightly different source for this. He says, Mihoche, he says, you learn out this din from the following, because it says, Rosh Devarcha Emes. It says, the first of your words are Emes. Now, does that imply that only Rosh Devarcha are Emes, Velo Sov Devarcha, and your end words are not? Ella, Misov Devarcha, from the last words, such as Kabeis Savicha, so then Nikar Shirosh Devarcha Emes. So you can see that the first two commandments as well are 100% Emes. Okay. By my name Rav Ula, they asked Rav Ula the following shayla, ad heichon kibud avein. How far does one have to go to do the mitzvah of kibud avein? And this leads us into a fascinating Gemara, very well-known Gemara, parts of it are very well-known, and some great stories that we'll have to illustrate how great people do the mitzvah of kibud avein. So they asked Rav Ula, how much does a person have to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud avein? So Rav Ula tells him, Amar lahem, tzu'u, go, uru'u, and see, go and see what this one guy who is par excellence doing the mitzvah of kibud av to his father, this guy who lived in Ashkelon, see what he did. What was his name? This guy, famous name, the Dama ben Nisina Shemo. This guy was known as Dama ben Nisina. His father's name was Nisina. His name was Dama, and one time, Pamachas, Bikshu Chachomim Frakmacha, one time Chazal needed to buy, the Mefarshim explain, one of the special gems of the Choshen Mishpat. So they needed to go and purchase it from him, and he was a diamond or jewel dealer. He had this very precious diamond or gem, and they wanted to buy it from him, B'shishim Ribo Schar, for 60,000. In other words, for 600,000 gold dinarim. That's how much they were willing to pay for it. However, V'ayam Avteach Munach Tachas Merashosov Shel Aviv, the key to the safe was underneath the head of his father. His father was sleeping on this pillow, and underneath the pillow was the key. And the low tziaru. Dabbi Vinasina said, sorry, you'll go get the gem from someone else. I'm willing to lose this huge deal, $600,000. I know you'll get the gem from someone else, but I'm not waking up my father. Tosus points out, in addition, why didn't they say, well, listen, so the safe is worth $10,000, so go smash the safe and make yourself $600,000 profit over here, and okay, so you'll break the safe. So Tosus points out that from the Yerushalmi, Yeshayu Raglov Pishutos ala teba, that his feet were on top of the safe, L'kach lo shivra, and therefore they couldn't take the key, which was under his head, they couldn't break the safe, which was under his feet, and therefore Dabbi Nesina said, I'm willing to give up this huge profit, I'll cover it for my father. Now, it's interesting. That's not the halacha l'maisa. The halacha l'maisa would be, if your father would be upset that you didn't wake him up, so let's say a person is sleeping in the afternoon. The father always goes to the Rav Shia. And the father is sleeping in the afternoon. The son knows that the father wants to be woken up to go to the Rav Shia. If the son says, oh, I'm not waking up my father, that's not proper kavod. No, in fact, that's the absolute opposite of kavod. The father wants to be woken up. Kavod isn't defined by what you want. It's by what the father wants. As we'll see some of the stories from today's Shia. So in fact, there would have been nothing wrong, if that's what the father had wanted, for Dhamma ben Asina to actually wake up his father. And the Gemara is illustrating this point just to show us that he was willing to give up a $600,000 profit in order not to go and wake up his father, not to disturb his father. Albeit, again, if his father had wanted that, that would have been the halacha that he could wake up his father. I'll review the Mishmul. Review the Mishmul adds over here, and he says, Shalus Rabbi Eliezer, they asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ad hechon kibud avayim, how far do you have to go to do the mitzvah kibud avayim? So I'm going to have him, So he tells him the same exact story with Dabi ben Asina, that look what this one guy did who lives in Ashkelon, his name was Vidom ben Asina Shmo, and Bikshu menu chachamim avonim leifel. Here they go into a little bit more detail. They told you what I said before, that they needed to have this precious gem for the ephod of the coin gadol. And they wanted to purchase it, but she should be no schar. And they were willing to give him 600,000 golden dinarim for it. Or alternatively, Rav Kahane says, Masne bishmonim ribo. It was 80,000. In other words, $800,000. 800,000 gold dinarim. And the same thing happened. The keys were under the pillow, under the head of the father. And Dovin Sina said, no, I'm not going to disturb my father. I'm willing to lose the $600,000 or $800,000 over here. And I am not going to go and wake up my father. Here, in this story, we add additional details. L'shon ha'acheres, next year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid back Dabi ben Asina. Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Dabi ben Asina a para aduma. Shano delo para aduma biedro. So he had a perfectly red cow that was born in his flock. And nichlus l'chacham Yisrael etzlo. So the chacham came to go buy this para aduma from him, which was worth even more than the diamond that he didn't sell last year for the ephod. So the Chazal came, Nichlus Chacham, Chacham Yisrael Etzlo, and Amalev, Dovin Sina said, I know I could ask you whatever I want. I know that you'd be willing to pay even more than I'm going to ask you for this paraduma, because I know how rare and how special a paraduma is. In fact, according to Rabbeinu, there were only a total of 6 paradumas, one by Moshe Rabbeinu, one by Ezra, and then another 4 in the Bayis Sheni, and then there'll be one that'll be brought by Moshiach. So there's a total of 7. According to Chacham, there's a total of 10. One by Moshe Rabbeinu, one by Ezra, 7 more in the Bayis Sheni, and one will be wrought by Mashiach. So throughout Jewish history, there have not been a lot of paradumas, either 6 or 9, according to Rabbi Meir and the Chacham, respectively. So when they needed one, it was extremely rare to have a paraduma. And therefore, Dabi ben Asina said, I know I could ask you guys for all the money in the world, and you give it to me, because you need it desperately. I'm in the driver's seat. But I'm not going to ask you for all the money in the world. Ela ein anim evakish mekem ela osa mamon shiv sadeti vishvil kavod apa. All I want is what I lost last year by doing the mitzvah kibud avayim. So God will pay me back now, and I'll ask for the 600 or 800,000 golden dinarim that I lost last year. That's all I'm asking for the paraduma. Rabbi Chanina, said, Umami sheno mitzuva v'yosa kach mitzuva v'yosa alachas kama v'kama. So somebody who isn't commanded in the mitzvah of kibud avayim, yet he's rewarded in this way. So imagine us who are mitzuva in the mitzvah of kibud avayim, how much more so will be rewarded. Rabbi Chanina, said, Godol mitzuva v'yosa, misha eno mitzuva v'yosa, because a person who's commanded to do something has more reward for doing it than a person who's not commanded. Now, on the simple understanding over here, it would sound the opposite. A person who is not commanded and does something, they would say, "Whoa, what a nice guy. He's not commanded to do it, and he does it. Oh, the guy that's commanded to do it, big deal, he's commanded to do it." So the Chacham explained, no. When a person is commanded to do something, then yes, they share, he's constantly trying to be mamus you. He's consciously trying to be machshel you, to make you fail. So there's a full strength trying to tell you, don't do this mitzvah, don't do this mitzvah, don't do this mitzvah. So if you're able to overcome your yetzer hara to do the mitzvah, that took a lot of effort, and you get tremendous schar. When a person isn't commanded to do something, the Yetzer Hara leaves him alone. No, you want to do it because okay, it doesn't bother me. You're not commanded to do it. And this is no Yetzer Hara. And therefore, it's easier sometimes to do something that you're not commanded to do than if you're commanded to do it. And that's why Rabbi Chanina said, a person who's mitzuvah and nevertheless does the mitzvah, even though his Yetzer Hara is constantly trying to get him not to, is doing a greater mitzvah that's not mitzvah and does that mitzvah because there's no Yetzer Hara against him. And this is illustrated by the story of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, as we've mentioned many times, is a blind person. He and Rav Sheshes both face stories about them that they were both blind. So here, Rav Yosef, who was blind, said, Meireish Havamina, originally I used to say, Man dahavi omali halachik Rabbi Yehuda, whoever would tell me that halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The omar suma patim in a mitzvos. Rabbi Yehuda held that a blind person is patim in a mitzvos. So originally, Rav Yosef didn't know this din that we just said from Rabbi Chanina. And he thought a blind person who's not mitzvah in the mitzvahs gets more reward than somebody who's mitzvah in the mitzvahs. So he said, anybody tells you that the halach is like the yachid, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the sumah is actually part of the mitzvahs, so therefore, when I do the mitzvahs, I'm getting more schar, he said, than somebody who's mitzvah, so I'll make a great yantif for the rabbis, I'll make a big suda, and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my lot in life, that I get to do all the mitzvahs on a greater level than everybody else. Because I am not commanded to do so, because I'm a blind person. And Rehu the host, Suma, is potter min ha-mitzos. A blind person is potter from all the mitzos. However, since I'm doing them, I get great reward. However, hashtu the shemisa, lahad yom Rav Chanina. However, once I heard the true answer, which is how we paskin, that a blind person is mechoyev in the mitzos, and that a mitzuvah v'oseh is greater than somebody who's ain't a mitzuvah v'oseh, so then he said, that Rav Chanina said, Godol mitzuv v'yoseh, mimi she'ein mitzuv v'yoseh, so adi rabba, then I make a yontif, I make a big party, man di amali de'ein halach Rav Yehuda, if the halach is not like Rav Yehuda, in fact, the halach is like the rabbis, which of course it is, we always had the halach is like the rabbin, but here we're just for being parallel, before he said, whoever tells you the halach is like Rav Yehuda, see here we say, whoever tells you the halach is not like Rav Yehuda, of course, it's like the chachanim, so then, man di amali de'ein halach Rav Yehuda, adin the yom tov rabba, I'll make a big suda, I'll make a big feast, I'll make a big yontif for all of those people that tell me this, because now I'm mitzvah v'yoseh, and I'm getting more reward than if I wasn't mitzvah v'yoseh. Now the Gemara tells us with another story. Now this story is even a greater story, not as famous as the story of the key under the father's head, but he's actually showing more how great Dami Messina was in terms of kibud av v'eim. Now, ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said over the following story about Dami Messina. Dami Messina lived in Ashkelon, as we said, so when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he told him about this great guy who lived in Eretz Yisrael in Ashkelon. Amar, he said, Pam Achas, one time, Dami Messina haya lavush sirkon shel zahav. He was wearing a very, very fancy gold cloak. Now, this gold cloak was something like the senators used to wear. And he was amongst all the, Yerushalmi goes into further detail, he was amongst all the famous and important people of society. And what happened? Ubasa imo, Tosu says, and his mother was demented, Rechmon Lassan. Yesh b'medrash ha'isim mitu revis midaita. She never had dementia, and she had Alzheimer's or something like that. And his mother came, Ubasa imo, Ukirato mimenu, and she ripped this golden cloak from him right in front of all the nobility, all the senators of Rome. And what did he do? Nothing. Then vitofchalo arosho, she then hit him on the head with her shoes. And some of the mafarshim should bring down that he picked up her shoe when she hit him, and it fell down. He picked up her shoe and gave it to her, and she hit him again. And then she dropped the shoe, and he picked it up and gave it to her again, and she hit him again. So even though his mother was terribly, terribly humiliating him and doing terrible things to him in public, he said nothing. And then she spit on him. And he did nothing. He just took it and accepted it. Wow. That is true. Kibud av v'eim. Tani Avime, Birei de Rabbi Avohu, Avime, who was the son of Rabbi Avohu, taught the following maisa. Yesh machel yovi pisyoni, v'tardim in olam. There are those people that give their father pheasant under glass. Pisyoni, Tosus tells us, is a pirish of choshev, a very, very important bird, a very fancy type of fowl. V'hainu min slav sheish b'midbar. And it's a type like the slav that were in the midbar. And some suggest that this is like pheasant under glass. Very, very fancy food. So there is a guy that gives his father very, very fancy food. Nevertheless, the Torah in olam. And because he gave his father fancy food, he's destroyed from the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset with him. So Tosus is going to explain on our daf over here. Rashi explains it on Lamed Aleph on Beis. So we'll look at the Tosus right now because we're not to turn the daf yet. So Tosus tells us from the Yerushalmi that Ma'isa b'shneim, there were these two people, Ma'isa b'echad, first we have the first story over here, Shayomachul Yovit Pisyoni, that he would go and give his father this pheasant under the glass, and Pamachas Amalu Ovid, his father once told him, Mi'ein l'cha kol eila, wow, this is really expensive. How can you afford to give me such fancy foods? And what did the son say to the father? Amalo, Saba. He said, you elderly man, my ich patlach, what's it your business? I'm feeding you. Just eat. Adetochon ve'echo. Go and eat. It's not your business how I'm able to afford to feed you pheasant under the glass. So therefore, he was very disrespectful to the father. And therefore, he told him, ve'echo ken klovim. Eat like the dogs eat. And therefore, it was very, very embarrassing to the father. And this was v'tardum in olam, because he treated his father with disrespect. He thought that, wow, I'm giving a pheasant under the glass, I'm doing a great thing. But in fact, the way you treat somebody is far more important than what you do. I mentioned many times when a person gets stuck, so even if you can't give such a large amount, to do it upon him yafos is much more better than to give a large amount and say, why don't you get a job? And, you know, do things like that. So that's degrading to the poor person, as opposed to if you give a smaller donation, because that's all you can afford, but you say, oh, I hope you're successful, he would like a drink of water, I feel so bad that you have to go and beg me, I should help you, etc., etc. So then that's much better than giving a large donation and say, hey, why don't you get a job? So that's the first story over here. The rich guy that gave his father a pheasant on the glass, and yet he was taken from the world. And then Avimi, who's the son of Rabbi Yehoshua, says the second part of the story, and he says, "V'yesh matchinim b'rechayim." There are those that make their father's work a very back-breaking type of a labor, grinding on a millstone. To do this by hand is very, very back-breaking labor. And nevertheless, if we turn to Lamed Aleph or Mibayz, such a person umivil chayolam haba, he'll be brought into the world to come. In other words, he's doing a great thing. Now here we're looking at Rashi, because now we're on the same page as Rashi. Rashi tells us both bring down the same Yerushalmi, and here we have about eight lines down into the Rashi's over here. He was a miller, and he would go and work the millstones. He had an elderly father, and the king sent that I need people to go and clean my toilets. I need people to come to serve me. And he made fun of those people that would work for him. So they sent for the elderly father to go work by the king. So the son says, listen, Dad, that would be very degrading for you to go work by the king. They'll make fun of you. They'll make you clean the toilets. They'll make you do all sorts of degrading things, and they'll laugh at you. So Amar lo b'no. So this son said to the father, Abba, somebody has to go and work the millstone. Somebody has to go work the king. I'll go and work for the king and suffer the bizyonos and the humiliation of working for the king in this degrading fashion. And you do the backbreaking but honest labor on the millstone. So that's what the son said to the father. Tichon, you go and do the backbreaking work. Vani elech tachtecha le'avodas ha'melech. And I'll go serve the king. And here Rashi is, she'ein lo kitzah, because this servitude could be for years. It could be for a very long period of time. It doesn't have an end date. And as I said, it could also be very degrading according to some of the Mefarshim. So therefore, this son actually made his father do backbreaking work, and yet this son was mevi'el l'chai olam haba. So again, it all depends on your attitude and why you're doing things and how you do things, rather than just simply what you do. Okay, now the Gemara continues. I'm Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo said, Kigon, what's an example of somebody who does wonderful kibbutz of aim? Kigon Avimi Berei, my son Avimi. So ki hamitzvah kibbutz, he has been successful in fulfilling the mitzvah kibbutz of aim. Why is that? Because my son Avimi has five Tamidei Chachamim sons himself. Chamisha Bonei Samachei Havalei. He has five smuchim. He has five sons that are great rabbis. Lavim v'chay Avim. And they are all alive during the time of him and me. And the Chihava also Rabbi Avo, Kari Ababa. Nevertheless, when I come to my son Avimi's house, he tells his sons, you don't get the door. I will get the door. Right. He, my son, doesn't let any of his sons go and run to get the door for me. He himself, my son Avimi, he runs, right? The Oz will possibly. Avimi himself will go and open up the door for me. And as he's running to the door, so I shouldn't be nervous. Maybe they don't hear me. All right, in. Ademati also, he says, I'm coming, yes, I hear you knocking, I'm running as fast as I can, until he could get there. And he wouldn't let any of his sons do this. He insisted on doing this for himself. So his father, Rabbi Bo, says, oh, that taka is beautiful, kibbutz of aim. In fact, one time, Yom Echad, Amalei Ashkin Maya, Rabbi Yavo asked the son of Avimi, can you go get me, please, a glass of water? So he quickly ran. Avimi ran to get a glass of water, but by the time he got it back to him, nimnim. They didn't have running water in the sink. They didn't have a cold refrigerator to get it for him. Masami had to run out to the well. And by the time he came back with the water, so his father, Rabbi Yavo, had fallen asleep, took a little dribble. So Gochin, Avimi waited there, bent over. Koy Ale, standing over his father until his father wake up, so he wouldn't keep him waiting for one split second to give him the glass of water, adiastar, until he woke up. And istaya milsa, while he's waiting there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did him a tremendous zuchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did him a tremendous favor. And he made him understand something that he didn't previously understand. That's what Rashi explains over here. But Darish Avimi Mizmor Liyoso. He was now able to understand this kapitel of Tehillim, which he wasn't able to understand before. Kapitel Ayin Tes, which is Mizmor Li'osov, this is a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about how the Goyim have Nebuch destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the question is, why did it say Mizmor Li'osov? It should have said Kino Li'osov, Eichel Li'osov. So why is it over here a Shira? So he was made to understand, this is one of the interpretations that Rashi has over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his anger against Chai Yisrael on the sticks and stones on the Beis HaMikdash proper rather than on the Jewish people. He didn't wipe out the Jewish people. So that's one of the reasons why this was Mizmor Li'osov, why this was such a great thing. He was able to figure this din out. Okay. The other interpretation as well, but let's go weiter. Amalei Rav Yaakov Barav Huli Abaye, Rav Yaakov, who was the son of Avua, said to Abaye, Kigon Ana, an example of Kibbutz Avim is myself, the Adosinim Beberav. When I come home from the Beis Medrash, my parents are so happy to see me that they want to go and serve me. Abba Madli Kasa, my father goes, and he's a big Talmud Chacham, he goes and fills up a glass of water for me. Vima Mosguli, and my mother, she goes and dilutes the wine for me. So, Hechi Avid, what should I do? Am I allowed to accept this from my parents? I want to do the mitzvah Kibbutz Avim, and they're honoring me. So, when I'm letting them do this, is that called Kibbutz Avim? That's what he asked Abaye. So, Abaye says to him, Mi'imach, from your mother, Kabel. Yes, you can accept that because that's her ratzon, and you're fulfilling her ratzon. She wants to serve you by diluting the wine for you. However, from your father, Me'avuch, lo tekabel. Don't accept your father when he gives you a glass of water or gives you a glass of wine, because while he's giving to you what seems to be willingly, the kivan debar toru, he's a big Talmud Chacham himself, he might have a chalishas adas, chol shodaite, he may be somewhat upset that how can my son go and accept this from me? I'm a Talmud Chacham and my son is using me. So even though he seems to be giving you willingly, don't take any chances and don't accept it from your father. Unless he insists. If he insists, then you're allowed to. But if he doesn't insist, he just does it, so then don't accept it from your father. But your mother, guaranteed, she's doing it as pure kavod for you, that's kavod for her when you let her do this. As we'll see from the next story, that Rabbi Tarfon didn't want to let his mother do something, and as a result of that, so the Chachamim said to him, no, you have to let your mother do that. That's what she wants. And again, I point this out again. Kibbutz Avim is not doing what you want. It's doing what they want. And I'll give you a mice of my own family, my own mother, Aleha Shalom. My mother has not been with us already for 7 years. I miss her tremendously, and I owe her so much. And when she used to come to our house, we used to have her almost every week after my father passed away. So Avi Mari, my father also, I owe everything to. So when my father passed away, so my mother would go to one of the children every Shabbos. She never was alone. So she would go to either my brother, my sister, or to me. And when my mother would come, so we would want her to sit royally and not do any work, but that bothered her more than anything else. So my wife taught me that, no, my mother is happier if I give her something to do. Let her peel the potatoes. Let her go and clean up something. She can't sit still. She can't not do something to prepare for Shabbos. Can't do just sitting there. That goes against Kibbutz Avim. So the actual Kibbutz Avim was putting my mother to work, and it made her very, very happy. And that is the critical idea of Kibbutz Avim, which we'll now see from the story of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Havalei Hayi Ima. Rabbi Tarfon had an older mother. The whole aimas to have his boil and mesach lepuya whenever she needed to get into her bed to go to sleep. So they didn't have step stools. So Rabbi Tarfon himself bent over and let his mother step on his back. Gochin, he would bend over the saliklaw and allow her to climb up on him in order to get into the bed. And likewise, the aimas to have nochas when she wanted to come out of the bed, nochsas ilove, she would go and step on him again. He would lie bend over so she could step on him to get out of the bed. Also, called Mishtabach Be'Midrasha. So Ritav was pretty proud of himself. And he praised himself in the Beis Medrash. Look what I do for Kibbutz Avim. Trying to obviously to teach the other Talmidim how far you have to go. And it's not beneath his cover to go let his mother step on his back. So the Talmidim said to him, they said to him, you think that's Kibbutz Avim? Adayim lo higata lechatzi Kibbutz Avim. You haven't even reached half of what you have to do. Klum zarka arnoki bifanecha layam v'lo hichlamta. Did you have her throw your money into the ocean and you didn't get upset with her? You didn't embarrass her? You didn't say, how dare you do that? When you go that far, then you can come tell us. But just because you bent over and let her step on your back, that doesn't really mean that that's a full Kibbutz Avim. Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef would go and hear that his mother was coming, he would say, I have to stand up because with my mother comes the Shechina. Because as we pointed out, when you do Kibbutz Avim, you're honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So therefore, when my mother's coming, it's the opportunity to do Kibbutz Avim, and therefore the Shechina is coming as well, and therefore I'm standing up for the Shechina as well as for my mother. Tosos and the Ramasco Rabbi Tarfon brings down additional stories about Rabbi Tarfon of the Yerushalmi. Pabachas, Ine the Rabbi Tarfon, Ovdo Pismaki Diodo Bechatzera, she lost her shoes in the yard. The yard saw Mimitasa Levaksho, and she went out barefoot to go and look for her shoes. And what did Rabbi Tarfon do? His son Rabbi Tarfon Yadu Tachas Raglel Halakarka. He didn't want his mother to go get her feet dirty and put her feet on the ground, her bare foot on the ground. So he put his hand out, so she stepped on his hand. Shloti Tani Raglel, that her feet shouldn't get dirty. Baisa Dores Yadu, she would step on his hands. Another Baisa. Vod Isav Yushami, the Imid Rabbi Shmuel, the mother of Rabbi Shmuel, Koshaita Vishaita, the Havi Osi Rabbi Shmuel, Bibay Midrasha, when Rabbi Shmuel would come back from the Beis Medrash, she would go and wash his feet. She would go, that would be her great honor to go and take care of her great son, the Rabbi Shmuel, so she would wash his feet. And then what would she do with the water? She would then drink that water. When Rabbi Shmuel heard about this, he says, my mother's drinking the dirty bath water of my feet. He didn't let her wash his feet anymore. But she was very upset. So she went to the rabbis to tattle on him. His mother went to the rabbis and she told him that my son Rabbi Shmuel is not letting me, not doing Kibbutz Aveim. But I said, Kobelis Rabbi Yishmael b'no, Shlohim Makdim, Mrs. Kibbutz Aveim, that he's not really doing Kibbutz Aveim. Now the Chacham was shocked. This is the great Rabbi Shmuel. The Nivalu Chacham in Badabra, they were shocked until they found out what was happening. Shlohim Rabbi Shmuel, what's going on over here? Your mother says he's not doing Kibbutz Aveim. The Sibyl Amomaisi told him she's drinking the dirty water that she's bathing my feet in. And listen to what the rabbi said. Let her do that. If that's what she wants, obviously it wasn't physically dangerous to do so. It's maybe not something that we would want to do, but there's really probably no danger, so therefore it wasn't pikuach nefashos of any sort. It's just something that we wouldn't consider very hygienic, but if that's what gives her kavod, so then that is called kibud aveim. Not, you're, well, I don't want her to do that. No. That's what she wants to do. That's the mitzvah of kibud avraham. Tells us in the previous, tells us Tai Milsa, tells us an interesting, another story that we just had on the Mizmor Le'Asaf that we said, what was such a great thing that Avimi discovered. So Tosus brings down a story that there once was a poor person that lost their utensil to go and get stuff in the well, a simple pottery utensil. And she bemoaned the fact that nobody's going to go look in the well for her simple pottery utensil. But then along comes the princess, and she drops a golden utensil in the well, and all of a sudden she shrieks and says, oh, I lost my golden utensil. And everybody comes now to go get the golden utensil from the well. And the slave girl, the Shivcha, so she goes now and sings all sorts of praises that this happened. And they're asking, why are you so happy about this? Because he said, because once they go looking for the golden utensil of the princess, so their stomach can also dredge the well, and they'll come up with my pottery, my simple utensil, and I'll get it back as well. So that's the same idea, that Klai Yisrael is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mizmor Le'Asaf, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the Shu Sha'arim Roshaychem, they're going to come back, the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, and when they come back, so we're going to come back with them. So therefore, we sing Mizmor Le'Asaf and not Kino Le'Asaf. Mark continues and tells us how far Kibbutz Aveim goes, that Rabbi Yochanan, who was an orphan, said, Ashmi Shalom Chamon, it is wonderful, it's praiseworthy for a person that never had the schus to meet his parents, because Rabbi Yochanan's father died shortly after conception, and his mother died during childbirth, so he never had the opportunity to see his parents, and therefore he never could fail in Kibbutz Aveim. Rabbi Yochanan, Ki Ibar Tuima, when his mother became pregnant, May Sabbath, shortly after conception, his father passed away, Nebuch. And Yilonato, and when he was given birth to, May Simo, his mother died in childbirth. And therefore, he never had the chance to meet either of his parents, and he was saying, well, I'm fortunate in this sense that I can't be Nichshol in Kibbutz Aveim. Similarly, V'chein Abai also, his father died shortly after conception, and his mother died shortly after birth, during childbirth. V'chein Abai. Now, more questions. It says, Ini, we have throughout Shas, Omar Abayi, Omar Liyein. Throughout Shas, we have that Abayi says that my mother taught me this. So how can you say that his mother died shortly after he was born during childbirth? So Gemara says, this Ein that Abayi is referring to throughout Shas, Hayi Marbinte Havoy. That was the woman who raised him. She was his governess. She was the maidservant who raised him, and she's quoted throughout Shas, but it wasn't really his mother. Mark continues telling us stories about Kibbutz Aveim. Ravasi Havalei Ha'imo Zekena. Ravasi had an elderly mother, and the Mefarshim bring down that Nebuch, she had also Tarfudaita, she had, unfortunately, dementia, and Amalei Brina Tachshitin. And she said to him, Nu, bring me jewelry. I want jewelry. Nu, an older woman wants jewelry, so he gave it to her. Fine, Avedlah, he made jewelry for her. Be'ino Gaber, she said, I want a husband. So he said, okay, I'll do my best. Naidin Loch. The Ben Yod explains that he had planned to go and bribe somebody to go and marry her. So therefore, he would find somehow for this elderly lady, somebody would be willing to marry her. However, She then said she wouldn't settle for just any husband. She said, Boina Gavra de Shapir Kavasach. I want somebody who's as handsome as you. In other words, she wanted a very handsome person. Now, no matter what, Rav Asi said, I can't bribe somebody who's already a handsome young man because he has plenty of suitors. He has plenty of rich girls who want to marry him. So there's no amount of money that I could give him to go and marry my mother. So at this point, he realized that his mother was Nebuch, demented. And Shafka, so he left her. He took care of her. He made sure that somebody was taking care of her. But he couldn't tolerate being with her. And that would be worse if he would go and Chas HaShalom not be mechavid her properly. So he arranged for somebody else to take care of her. And he left and he went to Eretz Yisrael. That's when Rav Asi goes to Eretz Yisrael and becomes a Talmud of Rav Yochanan. Now, Shama de Ko'ozla Basri, Rav Asi heard that she's coming to Eretz Yisrael to be with him. So he went to his Rebbe, also the coming of Rav Yochanan, and he asked his Rebbe, I'm late. Am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Ma'al Lot says, Eretz Yisrael, Luchutzlars. Am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to get away from his mother who's coming? He couldn't be with her because she was Nebuch crazy and he would end up not being Mechabit her properly. So Amoy also, Rav Yochanan says, sorry, you're not allowed to leave. What happens, however, Rav Asi said, Likras imo mahu, if I'm going for a mitzvah to go and greet my mother, would I be allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael in that situation? So Rav Yochanan said, I don't know. I'm alay, any of that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Did the mitzvah, Kibbutz of Aim, take precedence to the mitzvah of Yish of Eretz Yisrael, to stay in Eretz Yisrael? There are great people that never leave Eretz Yisrael once they're there, because it's a Yerida to leave Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Yochanan didn't know the answer to this question. So Israch Purta Hadarasa. So he waited a little bit, and then he asked him again. So Amalei, so Yochanan tells him now, Asi, he called him Rav Asi, he called him Asi, he was his Talmud, Nisrat Islotzeitz, Hamom Yachzircha L'Shalom. No, you want to leave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect you, and you should return back to Babel in peace. Yachzircha L'Shalom. Now, also, Lekami, the Rabbi Lazar, Rav Asi now was a little bit afraid that maybe Rav Yochanan was basically telling him, okay, you want to go, go. And he's not happy. So he went to a star pupil of Rav Yochanan, Rav Lazar, and also Lekami, the Rabbi Lazar, and he asked him, Amale, Chas V'Shalom, Dilma, Mirsach, Rosach, maybe that Rav Yochanan sent me away, yeah, go, Gesund Dehei, in a bad way. He was angry at me for asking him again, can I leave Eretz Yisrael? So Amale, my Yomalach, so Rav Lazar asked him, what exactly was the Lashon that Rav Yochanan sent you away? How did he tell you to go? So Amale, so Rav Asi said, he said to me, Amokom Yachzircha L'Shalom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return you safely back to Babel. So Amalei, so Lazar tells Rav Asi, if he was mad at you, V'im Isa D'Rosach, if he was mad at you, Lo Hava Mavarach Loch, he wouldn't have given you such a nice bracha. So therefore, he must have meant it in all seriousness that you were allowed to go back to Babel. No, meanwhile, he's already left Eretz Yisrael. He heard that Nebuch, his mother, had passed away, and they're bringing the Aron to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Omar, so Rav Asi said, Yodei, if I had known this, lo nafki, I never would have left Eretz Yisrael. The only reason I left Eretz Yisrael was to get away from his mother, or to go and greet his mother in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, he said, I never would have left Eretz Yisrael. The greatness of staying in Eretz Yisrael, to go and greet her coffin, no, wait till the coffin comes here, that would have been fine. Tarabana, we learn another braisa, mechabdo b'chayav, u'mechabdo b'moso, that a person has to do kibbutz of aim both during the lifetime of the parents and even after the parents have never passed away. B'chayav, ketzad, how does one do kibbutz of aim in the parents' lifetime? So, for example, hanishma bidvar aviv l'makom, if in a certain place they will do things because he is his father's son or his father's daughter, so then he should say, do this to me because I'm my father's son. Give this item to me, I'll cover it for my father. Lo yomar, he shouldn't say, shalchuni bishul atzmi, oh, do this for me, send me away because of me, because I deserve it. Or maruni bishul atzmi, or go and take care of this thing quickly because it's me asking for it. Or pitruni, you can dismiss me bishul atzmi because of me. I'm done with the work there, so you'll send me away because it's me. But instead, elokul bishul abba, you should say, do this all in discourse of my father. So if it won't detract in any way from the father, his father was well known, and it's a big chus for his father to have this done in his father's name rather than doing it for the son's name, so then do it in the name of the father. That's an example of giving kavod b'chayav. Now, the most okay, it's that, what would be an example of giving kavod after the father never passed away? So I omer d'var shmur mipiv, if a person is saying over d'var Torah that he heard from his father, lavdavki, even not d'var Torah, something that he heard from his father, so lo yomar kachomar abba, he shouldn't say, oh, this is what my father said. Ella, what he should say is, in the first 12 months after the father Nebuch passed away, Ella Kachomar, he should say the following Lashon. Abba Mori said this, Hareni Kaparas Mishkovo, and I should be a Kapara for his lying over here in the 12 months since his death. And anyway, then I could be a kapara for my father. I would wish to be a kapara for my father. But this is only, of course, during the first 12 months, because after that, we know that a person, even the worst of Chai Yisrael, they'll only be punished for 12 months. That's why we only say Kaddish for 11 months for a parent, because if you said it for 12 months, you'd be implying that your parent was amongst the worst people of the world, because only the worst people in the world, it's for 12 months. So we say, stop after 11 months. In any event, that's only for the first 12 months after the parent passed away, they use this lashon areni kaparas mishkava, because after that, they already got a kapara. Mikan ve'elech, omer, all you do is say, zichronu levracha l'chaye ha'olam haba, that you should say, Avi Mari, my father, zichronu levracha l'chaye ha'olam haba. And then, this is the lashon that gives cover to the father after the death. In the first year, the 12 months for mother or for father, say, already kaparis mishkavo. And after that, you say, zichrono levracha, l'chai olam haba. Again, in modern usage, we don't usually add l'chai olam haba, but your person should say, zichrono levracha. Yeah, that's the proper way that one should mention their parents. Nebuch, if they're not in this world anymore. When a chacham is mentioning his father, he shouldn't say, my father said this thing, but he should say, Avi Mari said this thing. He certainly shouldn't mention his father's name, right? So he should certainly give cover to the father in a way that doesn't just mention his name. There's a problem in saying your father's name. So you shouldn't just say your father's name. You should say, Avi Mari, my father, without mentioning the name, even if the father's a famous person. You don't say that my father, so-and-so's name, you say, my father, Avi Mari, he's the one that said this. Likewise, your Rebbe. You don't say Rebbe's name, you say, the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, the Rebbe Shlita said. So, this is for the person who's giving the shir. Turgama ain't a mishana lo shem aviv lo shem rabo. But the meturgamin, the one who is basically giving over the shir as a loudspeaker to the public, so he doesn't change around the name. We'll explain in a moment, and I'll say it now so you understand it. So, the meturgamin, when he hears Mar Bar Ravashi say the shir, and Mar Bar Ravashi says something over the name of his father Ravashi, so Mar, when he's saying this, he says, Avi Mari, my great father said this. But when the meturgamin says it over, he shouldn't say that Mar's great father, he should just say, this was said over in the name of Ravashi. So the meturgamin is allowed to say the name of the person, even though the one giving the shir doesn't say the name of his father, he says Avi Mari. So that's what it means over here. We'll explain this in a second. Chacham mishana shem aviv v'shem rabo. The meturgamin ain't a mishana lo shem aviv lo shem rabo. Now I already gave you the answer, but the Gemara now asks, Avu Adaman, whose father are we talking about? Ilemo Avu Adu Meturgamin. If we're talking about the name of the father of the meturgamin, let's say the one giving the shir happened to say over the vart from the meturgamin's father. So the meturgamin should just say, so-and-so said this, without saying Avi Mari. He doesn't have the din of Kibud Av V'Aim. So obviously that can't be what he means. Elam Rava. Rava says, like I just told you, it's the one who's giving the shir. When he mentions his father or his Rebbe's name, so he can't say, just say the name. He just says, Avi Mari or Rebbe Mari V'Rab or V'Rabi. And then the meturgamin can say that person's name, Befeirish. As we just said, here's the Gemara giving the example that I just said. Ki ha demar bar Ravashi, when Mar, who was the son of Ravashi, would give a shir, ki avi dorish bepirka, when he would go give a shir, darshan in the perek, so, and he would attribute something to his father, Ravashi, so when he would say it quietly to the meturgamin, so Mar would say, you are Mar Abba Mori, my great father, my father, my master. But when the meturgamin would say over the shir, be'amorah, the meturgamin, amar hachim Ravashi, he would say, this is what Ravashi said. He could say Ravashi's name, that wasn't a lack of respect. He would say Ravashi Zatzal, or Ravashi Shlita, whether he was alive or not. And when Mar would say it, he would just say, Avi Mari, my great father, my master. Tana Rabban, Ezu Mora v'Ezu Kibud. What are the actual definitions of Mora and of Kibud? So we first start off with Mora. So Mora, what is awe and reverence for your father? Lo omeid b'mekomo, and it applies to the mother as well. You're not allowed to stand in his or her place. Lo yoshed b'mekomo, you shouldn't sit in their place. Again, if they're moichel, you're allowed to. And parents shouldn't be so medactic never to allow their kids to sit in their place. However, it's very appropriate to say no, not all the time. Or even in some situations, a child should know, you don't sit in your father's seat, you don't sit in your mother's seat. Unless they give you permission, there's guests, there's company, and everybody has to be moved around so that they give you permission, you can sit in their place. Below so says Devorah, you should never contradict your father, below Machriel, and you shouldn't even go and prove your father's point. You have no status whatsoever. You're saying that your father's correct is degrading, that your father needs to be supported by his son. So that's a degradation, not a cover for the father. And therefore, it's not considered proper mora or in reverence for your father that you should either contradict him or even support what he says. What is the definition of kibud? Kibud means six things. Maichel umashke, you give him food and you give him drink. That's like one category, two things. Malbish umachase, you have to clothe him and you have to cover him up. That's the second group of two things. And then machnis umotzi, you have to take him places and you bring him back from those places. That's the third category of two things. Now, this is a good point to break in the shir, but there's a lot more discussion about this, and one could spend hours and hours and hours just discussing what exactly is Mora, what are the dinim of Mora, what exactly is Kibbutz, what are the dinim of Kibbutz, and those are separate shiurim that are given at other times, but for the Daf Yomi, we don't have the ability to go through it, and the Mitzvah Shem will have some other opportunity to give separate shiurim on these wonderful subjects. But with this, we'll conclude today's shiur, and I will give cover to my holy father and mother, Aleihem HaShalom, Zichronam Livracha, that I owe and I have a tremendous hakaras hatov to both of my parents, who both came over from Europe with the Shoah. My mom was in Auschwitz, my father lived through Kristallnacht, and they came here without family, without anything, and yet they built Baruch Hashem, beautiful Jewish family, with great-grandchildren at this point in time, who are Bar Mitzvah and Bas Mitzvah, and Be'ezus Hashem will soon, Be'ezus Hashem, start building the next generation, and we all have tremendous hakaras hatov to everything that my parents did for us, and me personally, I wouldn't be giving this shir if it wasn't for my holy parents. Yehi zichrom baruch. Everybody should have a great day.